97.5, The Fanatic.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Jason Martinez filling in for Mikey Miss. I haven't come on after that open in, I think, 4 or 5 years since the last show I did with Mike way back when, I think in 2016. That was weird. But it feels good to be here. And welcome to the day before the 4th of July, everybody. It's Jason Martinez, Tyler Zuli, alongside producing today, and a lot of interesting conversation to happen on this day before the 4th of July, and what traditionally is one of the great celebratory days of the summer, of the year, for us here in the United States of America. I'm wondering if it's going to be that way this year. Obviously restricted in some way, shape, or form. And it kind of leads us to what we're going to talk about today from a conversation standpoint, because, you know, our world is so uncertain right now. There is a ton of uncertainty in everything surrounding us. I've often said that the list of things that we're uncertain about is way longer than the things that we are certain about. And, you know, you're seeing athletes opt out of return to play protocols. They're opting out of going back to their sport. And it's an individual, while it's an individual decision, and each person's situation is far different than others, either financially, health-wise, with pre-existing conditions, who they live with, if they're married or they have a wife or a pregnant wife, as is the case with Mike Trout and Bryce Harper. And so it's a very individual decision. We've heard players like Malcolm Jenkins speak out about it, that he doesn't know if it's safe to return and if he should return to sports. All the while the sports fans, us, you, all of us, we want sports to come back to varying degrees, and we believe it's going to come back to varying degrees, or if it's even appropriate right now. So with that being said, Mike Trout, a member of our local community, born and raised here, now a member of the Anaheim Angels, or the Los Angeles Angels, I should say, voiced some concern, and it's got a lot of people up in arms, including his manager, Joe Maddon. You go, why does that matter here in Philadelphia? Well, it matters because he's the best player in the sport. He is the best of the best in baseball by most people's standard of a position player. And here's what he said. He said, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now. He says, as teams return to their stadiums for training camp Friday, Trout emphasized the importance of staying safe amid the coronavirus pandemic. And he went on to say, I think the biggest thing, obviously, is I don't want to test positive. I don't want to bring it back to my wife. We thought hard about all of this. Still thinking about all this. It's a tough time, tough situation we're in. Everybody's in. Everybody's got a responsibility in this clubhouse to social distance, stay inside, wear masks, and keep everybody safe. He said he's talked to a lot of guys around the league, and they're texting him a lot. He said, I'm not going to name any names, but it's just crazy. They're all thinking the same thing. Is this going to work? We just got to stay safe and obviously be as cautious as we can. And while Mike Trout is right, and Mike Trout may do all of the right things, he may social distance, he may wear a mask, he may wash his hands and do all the things that you're supposed to do. But Mike Trout is also doesn't have complete control, because there's other guys in his clubhouse that have to live their lives and their sports life in the same manner and seriousness regarding coronavirus that he does. And he can't guarantee that. This is the ultimate, you're only as strong as your weakest link, because if one guy, a younger player, whatever it might be, doesn't take it as serious, doesn't see the threat as serious, and doesn't do the right things, now all of a sudden Mike Trout's vulnerable, right? I mean, if that guy could bring it into the clubhouse because he didn't do the right things. And even though Mike Trout did all the right things, it doesn't matter because he's exposed to that player who didn't. So Joe Maddon, you know who Joe Maddon is, he had some very interesting things to say. And I was stunned when I saw it. He's basically saying, and he said to Bob Nightingale, that any player that decides to opt out is basically saying that they're not willing to follow the protocols. And I can't believe that he said it, because Mike Trout's the one voicing concern. But again, what Joe Maddon doesn't understand, and Joe should really understand this because he's an older gentleman. I think he's 66 years old. Joe's got to understand that it's not about Mike Trout. It's about Mike Trout, but it's about every guy in that clubhouse doing the right things. And if one guy doesn't, it doesn't matter what the other 30, 40, 50, or 60 people do, because the one person that doesn't do it can affect all of them. So the point here is this. You know, we want sports to come back, like I said, to varying degrees. And I want it to come back. I think it's time it comes back. I understand cases are rising in parts of the country. I get that the fight is still going on. But here's the deal. If a player decides not to play, in Mike Trout's case, because he's got a pregnant wife at home, then that's his decision. That's a personal decision. I'm fine with it. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, Mike Trout just doesn't want to follow the protocol. And Mike Trout's got so much money, he doesn't need to come back, so he's not a gamer. He doesn't love the game. Or like Malcolm Jenkins, I'm not going to say, hey, Malcolm, you've made a lot of money in your career, and you're just going to sit out because you don't feel like following the restricted protocol that the NFL's put in place, which we'll get to in a minute, because they're going to levy fines and different things for people that do not follow the proper protocol. If you don't want to play, don't play. But the question is, does it call into question the legitimacy of the games? If the best players, Mike Trout's the best player in baseball, if he doesn't play, what does that do for baseball? Does that make the results illegitimate in some way, shape, or form? Because here's the deal. There's only 60 games. A player like Mike Trout, can have an effect on a small sample size in baseball more than ever, even if his team's not great, and lead him to a postseason. A guy like Malcolm Jenkins, the drop-off from a guy like Malcolm Jenkins to the second guy up on the Saints roster could be drastic, and it could really affect the team's ability to win games. So while we want sports back, do we need the stars to come back to make it legitimate? You know, I look at it and I go, I want sports back. I'm already looking at the baseball season like it's not a legitimate season. But that's not to say I don't want it back. I want it back because I want the entertainment. There's the elements I still want to see. But if Mike Trout's not playing, should the sport tuck tail and run? No. You know, Bryce Harper's in an interesting situation. So let's take it to Bryce Harper. His wife's now pregnant with his second kid. And so obviously there's risk involved, just like there is for Mike Trout, even though Bryce Harper's in Pennsylvania and Mike Trout's in California. There's still risk involved. If Bryce Harper said, I don't think I'm going to play, I'm going to opt out, how are you as a Philadelphia fan going to react to that? Are you going to say, he's not a gamer, I thought he was tougher? You know what I'm saying? Hey, that's your decision, dude. You got a young baby at home. You got a pregnant wife at home now with your second on the way. If you don't want to play, I understand. I get it. I'm not holding it against you. But in this kind of sports macho world that we live in, so oftentimes we want players to play through injuries. We expect them to play through injuries. We expect them to assume the risk, even though this is far different. So if Bryce Harper decided he wasn't going to play, now he hasn't said that he's not going to decide to play. But when you see the situation and what Joe Maddon said, and he sits there and says, this is a player that doesn't want to follow protocol. If I'm Mike Trout, I'm going into his office going, dude, what are you talking about? That's completely ridiculous for you to say that, because it's not about me. It's about everybody around me. And while I can follow the protocol to the T, it may not matter what I do. It matters what the other people in this clubhouse do. And I can't control them. So if you don't want to play, don't play. I get it. But sports needs to come back. It needs to come back. And I want to ask the people that incessantly post on social media over-unders on when sports are going to get canceled again. And when they seem to want it, the return to play for each of the sports to fail so they can be right. Like, I don't get that. Like, how do you live like that? How do you kind of go through day to day and go, it's not going to come back. It's just going to fail. Or if they do come back, they're never going to finish. Like, where's your sense of optimism? We've been through 2020. This year has sucked. It's been awful. It's been the worst year ever. 2020 can pack up and go away. We got half the year left. What good is it to walk around as a miserable human being going, as soon as it comes back, it's going to be gone anyway? Like, I don't get, is that fun to live like that? Tyler, is it fun to live like that?
People love the I told you so moment.
Oh, my God.
It's to the point where they'd rather be right than feel some sort of joy about the sports returning.
Yeah. I don't get it. And I want to talk to those people today and see if they can put their misery aside and get excited for sports returning. Because you know what? The Phillies are working out right now, and they're going to continue working out next week. The coaches for the Eagles are going to report in about a week's time, and they're going to have to quarantine. And training camp is now less than 3 weeks away for the rookies to report on July 21st. The NHL is going to go to training camp next week. The NBA players are going to go to their bubble in Orlando in the next week. So this is all on the horizon. And look, you're entitled to feel like they're coming back too soon. That's your personal opinion. But why does it seem like so many people are rooting for it to fail? I just don't understand that. We're going to have some fun today, too, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to categorize the players in this town right now. We're going to categorize the coaches in this town right now, general managers, owners, all of them. The cream of the current crop will decide. I'll throw them to callers, and you got to decide whether that player, coach, GM, or owner is good, great, solid, but non-essential, or see you later. 610-632-0975. That is the number. It's the eve of the 4th of July. Jason Martinez filling in for Mikey Miss right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaws-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at landisbc.com. It's Chase Martinez and Tyler Zulli. We're filling in for Mikey Miss on the day before the 4th of July. A lot of movies centered around the 4th of July, right? Do you have a favorite 4th of July movie, like Independence Day?
Yeah, I think I probably have to go Independence Day. I know it's crazy and so outlandish, but I think it's probably Independence Day.
Is that your, you like that one that much?
It's kind of like an unplug type movie. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like I could sit and enjoy it. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's like, you know, this premier cinema, you know, film or whatever you want to call it. I just think that it's a fun movie. And I can, like you said, a little bit mindless. You can kind of unplug for a little bit.
Yeah. Born on the 4th of July is a great movie. Like, that's a good one.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
What?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
You've never seen Born on the 4th of July?
You might change my mind once I sit down and watch it.
You gotta watch
it. I got a ton of movies that I have to sit down and watch.
What about, like, your favorite patriotic movie? Now, Born on the 4th, how old are you?
26.
Okay, yeah. Born on the 4th of July came out in 1989.
Yeah, I wasn't born yet.
It's a little before your time. But like patriotic movies, like Independence Day, that's more, you know, obviously to the 4th of July and Independence Day. But the greatest patriotic movies, anything there?
Okay. I mean, probably a simple one, but like I think The Patriot's an awesome movie.
Yeah, it's a good one.
With Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson, yeah.
I think that's a good movie to watch.
Came out right after Braveheart, not right after.
That would probably be my go-to.
Like Top Gun?
Top Gun's solid.
That's a good.
Is it patriotic?
Yeah. It could be they were fighter pilots and, you know, they flipped in the bird.
All right.
Wasn't the new Top Gun supposed to come out this summer?
I think so.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that. And I guess...
I don't know if you could top it. No pun intended.
Yeah, it was good. Now, there's some good patriotic movies. Was Forrest Gump patriotic?
Yes, but here's what I'll tell you, and you could probably discredit me from here. I don't like Forrest Gump.
Why not?
I think it's overrated. I think.
What are you, Mikey Miss?
No, listen.
It was easy to play Forrest Gump.
No, I don't. I think it was a very hard, a very good role for Tom Hanks. I think he played it really well. For me, everything just seemed to be like it just. Ran from like story to story to story to story. You know what I mean? Like he just.
That was the point though.
No, and I get that. I guess it didn't click with me.
Okay. My favorite, you know, kind of American patriotic movie is Saving Private Ryan.
That's, you know what? And it's funny that you say that because that's my favorite movie and I don't know why I didn't associate it with.
Awesome.
With a patriot, you know, quote, patriot movie. You said patriot. My mind went right to Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
But Saving Private Ryan is still my favorite movie of all time.
As far as patriotic movies go, for me, Saving Private Ryan is number one, and then Miracle. I know Miracle,
it's a
Disney movie, but
Yeah, I would go. Obviously, I would go Saving Private Ryan 1. You've changed my mind, and Patriot 2.
Okay. See, mission accomplished. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Let's go to Wilmington and talk to Ed on the Fanatic. Hey, Ed.
Jason, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
You're looking good on the TV there.
Don't lie to me.
The hair looks good. And I say that
not,
to you.
Not a hair out of place.
Listen, talking to a hockey guy, it is the best because I am 100% hockey guy. It doesn't even have to be the Flyers. You give me the NHL playoffs with a hot goaltender and Emrik Sam, what a save. And I am in. I will watch any two teams. I really love the Flyers' chances. We were on such a roll. I don't think they need to fear any team. Every other team should fear them. And I think we have a young goalie who's being tutored by a good goalie. And he's going to be, you know, for a long time, we haven't had a good goalie. And now we got a good young goalie.
Yeah, I mean, look.
And they just paid Brizgalov $23 million to get rid of him, and they let Bob go, and Bob was a good goalie.
Well, they didn't just let Bob go. Bob said, "I'm going." When you sign Brizgalov, he's like, "Why am I going to stay here?" You just signed that guy, and I think Brizgalov just got his last paycheck the other day on July 1st.
Yeah, I love NHL playoffs. That's the sport I am so excited to see come back. I don't care if there's fans in the stands. Don't give me the cutouts. Give me that horn. And it'll just be like an Olympic game.
Do both teams get the goal horn or just the team that's technically listed as the home team?
Hit the horn. Just hit it. Just hit it all over the place because you're going to have to fill some fodder in there. But that's the one I'm really looking forward. And you know what? They're going to replay on NHL Network at 5 today, the 87 Game 2 Flyers at the Oilers. That's a Hextall, I believe, in a depleted Flyers team.
No Timmy Carr.
Gretzky said that was the toughest Stanley Cup run he had against the Flyers, and we were banged up going in there.
Yeah, they won 5 out of 7.
It's hard to watch the old video, though, Jason, with all the high def now.
Oh, yeah, and the game looks so much slower, obviously.
They really do.
And what you're seeing now. Let me give you a player or coach or whatever to categorize as great, good, solid, but non-essential, or see you later. Let me throw you Alain Vigneault.
Oh, I'm glad you threw that one my way because I think he's a great coach.
Okay. I will say really good, Ed, because he has gotten to 2 finals, which is a good accomplishment, but winning a final is a great accomplishment. He's been nominated as the Jack Adams Coach of the Year, a finalist 4 times, and probably this year will be his 5th nomination, which would lead the NHL history. And since that award has been in place since 1976. Fred Shiro won the first one, by the way. He's a good coach to win. If he wins a cup, he becomes a great coach.
Do you think more Philadelphians would title him great because it's something different and it's worked early? You know what I mean? Like, especially after the last coaching staff with the Hextall and all the horribleness that ensued there.
Yeah. I don't know if people will go great just yet.
Okay.
I think people say he's really good, but I still need to see more. Like, they got to win a playoff series. Like, even Dave Hextall's teams got into a playoff, and, you know, Berube got a team to a Game 7 against the Rangers, and that year they went to the Cup in, I think, 2015 or 2016. So, but you got to win playoff series. And if this team gets into the playoffs, and I don't care if it's a pandemic or not, I'm expecting them to win. You know, they got to, whoever they face in the first round, whoever one of the teams that win a best-of-5 play-in and that they face get up against in the first round, they got to win because theoretically that is a team that's inferior to them.
They're supposed to be the better team.
Yeah.
That's why I'm worried about
Pittsburgh. I don't care if it's Pittsburgh or whoever.
I'm worried.
Well, the Flyers are in a good situation too because they can move up as a 4 seed. They can't move down. So that's a good situation.
Just even move up to that 3 would be huge.
Yeah. Well, you never know. We'll see how that plays out. And I imagine that's going to get underway at the beginning of August is when they're going to start the round robin. And when they're going to start the best-of-5 play-in round, and that's going to take about 10 days, I would think, maybe not even, 9 days, and then they'll start the actual Field of 16 playoffs around, you know, August 10th. So you're going to have that on August 10th. You're going to have the Sixers playing on August 10th. You're going to have the Eagles in training camp about, I guess, 10 days away from their first preseason game now.
Less than a month from the regular season.
Yeah, because the first preseason game now is going to be August 20th, I believe, for the Eagles. And the Phillies will be going.
Really sad we're missing out on that Eagles-Jets fourth preseason
game.
Oh,
my goodness.
6-0 last year.
You do hope that all this garbage with the pandemic and the nuts and the craziness that it's been, that it manages to yield some good results. And getting rid of two NFL preseason games would be a good result.
That's a good result for us, yeah.
Yeah, that's a win. We'll take that as a win. Let's go to Downingtown and talk to Edward on the Fanatic. Hey, Edward.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Okay. First of all, a couple of comments on what I heard. This guy that says he doesn't learn anything from history, that means if he makes a mistake, which is in his past now, he's not going to learn from it?
What he's saying, though, see, you got to really dig deep on this quote. What he's saying is, in looking at history, it's clear that we haven't learned from history because we keep repeating it as a society. He's not saying himself individually.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We keep repeating the same mistakes over and over again, meaning we haven't learned from our past.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's a great quote.
Yeah, anyway, I wanted to talk about the Eagles and only playing two preseason games, and some people are saying they shouldn't play any preseason games or your players might get hurt. When they start a preseason, they got about 80, 85 players. They've got 53 from the previous year, and maybe 30, 35 of them are going to make the team, which means there's 17 spots open.
Well, where are you coming up with those numbers, by the way?
Well, they got 53 players on a team.
Yeah, I don't think there's 17 spots open. I think that there may be like three roster spots that guys are going to fight for. That they don't, like, obviously Jalen Reagor, who wasn't here last year, is going to make the team.
Oh, okay. Well, that's even worse for not having practice games. Because if you've got all these guys, how are you going to evaluate that talent? To get the right three guys, the right five guys.
Well, I mean, it's going to be more difficult, and they're going to have to. That's why the rookies are coming in a week early. They're going to have to put more on tape. The rookies are at a disadvantage because they haven't had a chance to show anything in OTAs and mini camps with no offseason program.
Right.
You could see teams and veteran players that they know what they're, or they think they know what they're going to get out of those players, keeping jobs. Moreover, having young players come in and take their spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But do you really need to see four preseason games, Ed?
No, but two anyway.
Well, they're going to play two.
Huh?
They're going to play two.
I've heard talking about even cutting those two out. That's what I think would be.
I haven't seen that. Have you seen that, Tyler? No, they have to have some preseason games before they play football. You can't. That's a sport you just can't like jump in and play. You know what I mean?
There is nothing that will equate to the first time your quarterback gets hit by an edge rusher from behind, or your running back gets cracked at the line of scrimmage or something like that. You can't reproduce that.
No, you can't replicate
it. Yeah, you can't replicate that fakely.
Yeah.
You know, in OTAs, training camp, whatever you want to do.
It doesn't matter if you go live. You're right.
Because you're not going to hit your quarterback in OTAs.
Yeah, and you're not going to try and obliterate your running back. They're your teammates. So, yeah, you're right. That you can't replicate that. Real quick, I heard your report about Victor Oladipo, and we were talking about Mike Trout earlier in the show about being very uncertain about returning to play and Major League Baseball. Well, Victor Oladipo has decided that he's not going to return. He said, here's the quote, really interesting. He said, I really want to play, and as a competitor and teammate, this is tearing me apart, he told The Athletic. I feel like I'm at a great place in my rehab and getting closer and closer to 100%. With all the variables from how I have to build my 5-on-5 workload back up to the increased risk of soft tissue injury, which could delay my rehab, and the unknown exact setup of the bubble, I just can't get my mind to fully being comfortable in playing. I have to be smart, and this decision hasn't been easy, but I truly believe continuing on the course I'm on and getting fully healthy for the 2020-2021 season is the right decision for me. Now, part of his decision is based on the uncertainty of the virus and the bubble. Although, you know, he said, you know, not knowing the exact setup of the bubble. I think the exact setup of the bubble is pretty well laid out, isn't it? The NBA put out a 113-page document laying out the bubble. Did you not get it, Victor? Check your email. You know what I mean?
Well, and it kind of goes back to what you talked about at the beginning of the show. It's an individual decision at that point.
Yeah, and I'm fine with his decision, but like to say that, though, not knowing the exact setup of the bubble. We know the setup of the bubble.
Yeah, it's pretty set in stone at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's not complicated. By the way, it's all there. I mean, it is complicated, but you know what I'm saying.
We do have to, this comes from Booney from NBC Sports Philly. We have to apologize to that last caller. So according to Around the NFL, developing story, the NFLPA membership have voted to play no preseason games.
So it
was voted on. So it hasn't passed yet, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
But that's where it looks like he saw that from, is the NFLPA said they're voting on no preseason games this year.
So are they voting on that they may decide that they can't play any preseason games and it's already voted on and they're cool with that? Or are they saying we're just going to cancel all preseason games now?
Still looking into it.
Okay.
It looks to me as if they are under the impression they're not going to play. The players are.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing. I haven't seen or heard anything from the league just yet.
Okay. It appears as well, and I want to bring this up, and we'll get back to the phones in a second at 610-632-0975. This article came out from Dan Graziano at ESPN saying NFL players could be fined for breaking coronavirus-related protocols. The players are going to have all these restrictions, and they're coming out now as well. It said some team meetings could potentially be held in person, but only smaller ones. Most meetings will be conducted virtually for the team. So they'll get people out of the facilities to have these meetings. Teams will limit the access to the facility to essential employees only, and facilities will be cleaned and disinfected around the clock. Teams will be required to submit emergency response plans regarding the coronavirus, including procedures that would allow follow a positive test from someone in the building. Media access is expected to be limited. The media will be required to go through the same testing protocol as players and other personnel, and media interviews are likely to be conducted virtually rather than in person. Currently, the proposal is to test players and team personnel every other day during training camp, but player reps on Thursday's call said they would prefer daily testing. Availability of and access to testing is an important issue, and the league is conscious of the potential backlash it could face if it has greater access to testing than the general public, which absolutely makes sense. Players and coaches usually stay in hotels during training camp, but players are being told they will stay in their own homes and commute to team facilities this year. Now, what does that do for players that don't live here that are camp bodies? And that they obviously have to stay in hotels.
Well, and it makes sense for, you know, the guy, even the guys that rent homes, they're okay. But like you said, camp bodies is a really difficult one, because not only are they the ones that are maybe at the most risk, but they're also probably, you would think, just based on their status on the team, the ones that financially need the help the most.
Yeah. And well, the other part of it too, now you have to get all your meals from somewhere else. So you have to go into society more if you don't live here and have your hire in a kitchen and everything else, right? You can grocery shop for a hotel, but you can only get so much and fit in that mini fridge. You know what I'm saying?
So a couple days at a time, it looks like.
Yeah. It's going
to
be really interesting to see how that plays out. And wow, if they don't play any preseason games, that'd be stunning.
No, Carson Wentz didn't play any preseason games last year, so.
Yeah.
No change for him and other quarterbacks.
You're just going to evaluate who you keep and who you let go based on practice.
Well, and I've seen a lot of people that basically have said, you know, guys like Joe Osman and guys like Hall are guys that are, you know, that may have not made the team last year if it wasn't for, you know, OTAs and training camp and preseason games.
Wow.
You know, and that happens a lot. I don't know if Austin Eckler would have made the Chargers his initial year. You know, because he came from a very small school.
Yeah, there's always a camp darling player,
and now,
right?
And now he's the Chargers' starting running back.
It's amazing how this is going to all look and how it's going to translate onto the field when games actually do matter. Assuming that happens, is going to be very interesting to check out. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Middletown and talk to Rodriguez. What's up, Rodriguez?
Martinez, mi amigo Martinez.
Hola.
¿Cómo está?
Hey, man. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm in Center City. The first time I come to Center City in about 5 months.
Whoa.
I mean, in Philadelphia.
How is it?
I'm from Middletown, so I don't get to go come to the city that often. It's very congested today. Hey, Martinez, we missed you in the show, man. You know, you've been great, man. We really missed you in the show. I like the used to compete with Mike back and forth, you know. And
no, me and Mike agreed on everything.
You guys, that's what we get now. That's what we get now. But with you, man, we used to get this back and forth thing, and it was great. Listen, we missed you on that. You know, when it comes to the athletes, man, you know what? I think we had something with the Sixers when we were in the playoffs, man. I think we had something. I think the loss of JJ, the loss of Jimmy, I think, man, that was obvious. You know, here we are a couple of months ago. We were losing to teams like Orlando. We lost to them twice.
Yeah.
It's like We listen to Markel Fox in Orlando. What happened here?
Yeah.
You know, I used to do security for the Sixers back in the 80s, you know, and I missed those great players. And, you know, I don't see the greatness in this team. No, man. I think that the vacancy of JJ, the vacancy of Jimmy, you know, I don't see that same team. You know, we noticed it a couple of months ago. We were losing to teams like that, man. And
yeah.
I just don't see how far we can get. I can see right now Brown, you know, Brown's going to be saying, oh, we weren't ready and we needed more time. But if we have to look
at
it.
Yeah, see, that's not you know this, Rodriguez. That's not an excuse. Like, Brett Brown, if he says that, I'm going to go, okay, well, that's on you. Because everybody is dealing with, every team is dealing with
everybody,
the same situation.
It's in the same level right now.
Yeah, it's a level playing field.
I don't know why I can't help thinking I'm going to hear those words from Brown. You know, it's like, I don't know, man. It's like, it's almost too predictable.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, when you look at the team, so what are you saying? The Sixers, where are they? Great, good, solid? Where do you rank them?
I got them as a good team. I can't rank them as great, man, because they're just not. I would have ranked them as great had we had JJ and Jimmy. I think we had something there, man.
Yeah.
We had a playoff team there, you know what I'm saying? But now, no, man, this is just a good team.
Yeah, well, they're a playoff team, but they may not be a team that can do some damage. That's the thing. They're a six seed, and look, they earned being a six seed. That's the thing. And you're right. When you lost Jimmy, and look, I understand why they moved on from Jimmy. Because he was going to be a challenge. But this team needs somebody that's going to challenge the other players on the team. And no coach needs a player that's going to challenge them. But that should be telling that Brett Brown needs that, right? If that's the case, then that should be very telling. And one of the reasons why I want the team to come back and I want the NBA to come back is because I want to see them culminate this season to make a decision moving forward on the coach.
I think a lot of people feel that exact same way.
See, Egan doesn't feel that way. Egan's like, well, you know, it's just another excuse because you're coming out of a pandemic. You're moving the goalpost back for Brett. But that's not the case.
If they fail, they fail. Yeah, I don't think it's moving the goalpost, especially since you play. He would have more of an excuse to come back if they didn't finish.
Yeah, because he didn't get to finish it. He didn't get the playoffs with this roster.
And I don't even know if I agree with that. You know, if that was the end of the season, then you'd have to evaluate the season based on what you had.
So if they go out in the second round again, are you pulling the ripcord?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You have to do something different.
There has to be an advancement.
Yeah. And usually, look, I'm usually a guy that says this all the time. I say, if not him, then who? You don't just fire a coach if you don't
agree
know who the next guy's going to be or better. But look, that's their job. That's Elton Brand's job to find the if not him, then who, and make it the right guy. Because Elton Brand is going to, you get to pick your guy one time as a GM. And he's got to pick the right guy to get the right, to get this group and get the most out of this group that he can. But it's also incumbent upon the players. Because in my opinion, no coach's job is to get a player prepared to play. There's an accountability and there's repercussions for not doing the right things. But it's a player's job as a professional athlete that when the tip-off happens in basketball, to be ready to play. That there's an accountability and a culpability that you got to do the right things. It's never the coach's job to give some speech before a game to get a player right to play.
That's baseline. And yeah. That's the thing is, too, you know, it's the coach's job to do it when you're coaching Little League. It's the coach's job to do it in high school.
Yeah, maybe college.
Maybe college. Yeah. You get to the professional level, you are a paid athlete. This is your livelihood.
It's your job.
It's your job on the line.
Yeah.
That would be like, imagine, you know, our boss is having to give us a pep talk right before we came on the show. Like, hey, man, you guys got to get, you know, give everything you got. Because if we don't give everything we got, we get in trouble. Yeah. Because that's how jobs work.
Yeah. That's just taking your profession seriously. 610-632-0975. Couple open lines if you want to grab them for the first time today. We got Jack on hold and room for you. 610-632-0975. It's Jason Martinez, Tyler Zulli. We're filling in for Mikey Miss right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You gotta be faking me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Sound off.
All right, it is time for sound off again. Like coming on after the Mikey Miss Open, I have not done sound off in 4-5 years.
Take it back down memory lane.
Wow, it does. Just here in the open. Coming in headphones, bringing back some old memories. All good. Let's see what we got today.
Good to see Oscar Lindblom being thoroughly was cancer-free now. He said he felt like Christmas and his birthday all rolled into one. Now let's go Flyers, and let's bring that Stanley Cup into Philly. Flyers fan in Folsom.
Flyers fan in full support. I'll end a sentence for him. Yeah, that was great to see yesterday, where we said earlier in the show that 2020 can pack up and leave. That was good news to see that Oscar got a chance to ring that bell at the end of his cancer treatments for Ewing sarcoma. God, he's such a good kid. He's such a good kid.
To see him back on the ice.
He was back, yeah.
That's incredible.
Ago. Yeah, in the middle of treatments at the time, right? Yeah, amazing. And hopefully, you know, he can start his preparations now for training camp for the 2020-2021 season. Amazing story, and he's such a good kid. So that was great to see. Absolutely.
I'm begging you. I'm down on my knees, and I'm begging you to stop with this BS narrative that the Sixers lost on a four bouncer last year. They lost because in three of the four games they lost,
Indeed.
They looked like they were on another planet, and they weren't focused on playing the game of basketball. That's on Brett Brown.
Whoa. Why is that on Brett Brown? Players play, dude. Coaches coach. Is it on Brett Brown because the players were in la-la land? That's not on the coach. If a player can't get up for an NBA playoff game, then that's the player. Stop blaming the coach for crap that's not his fault. That is not Brett Brown's fault.
I wanted to run something by with a shortened baseball season. Do you think there's a chance someone will hit 400? Because usually it's a tough throw over 162 games, but we've seen guys before, middle of the season, flirting with it. So do you think that that's a possibility, and who do you think is best to do that, maybe?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know who I'm going to say has the best chance to do it, because it takes a lot of luck to even through 60 games be able to do that. But again, is hitting going to be ahead of pitching, or is hitting going to be behind pitching? We don't know. So it could happen. Will you be able to say, hey, so-and-so hit 400 for a season and have it be legit? No.
Oh, really? See, I think it will be.
For 60-game season?
The season is what the season is. You know, you can only play that 60, that way.
That's a third of a baseball season. That's like saying the Eagles went undefeated and they played a third of the NFL season.
By the way, off the top of my head, it's probably Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
It's a good one. But yeah, you can't say a player hit 400 over a season.
Why not?
When it's only a 60 game. It's a 60 game. It's a third of a regular season.
It's not their fault.
Part of it is. They could have played more than that.
In their instance, it might be. You might be right.
Yeah, that sport's got an asterisk. They got one a couple years ago with the Astros World Series, and they're going to get another one this year.
I don't think we should bring sports back at all, as long as cases are still rapidly increasing in as many states as they are. Okay? It's pretty simple. You've got a lot of states that are increasing. One of the big states that's increasing is Florida, which is where they're planning to do the NBA and a lot of these other things. You cannot do that. So I'm sorry, but the NBA cannot come back.
Well, the NBA is coming back. So you can say they're not, but they are. And look, you got to realize the other part of this. Like, you got to look at it in total. If they would have been doing the amount of testing in New York City, that they're doing now in Florida or in California or Arizona or Georgia or in Pennsylvania, the number of cases would have been like 30 times higher. They estimate that in New York City, 1 in 5 to 2 in 5 New Yorkers have had the virus. Think about that. There's 16 million people living in that city. How many cases is that?
Without being tested?
No, in total.
Okay.
That's what it would have been. Like right now, the positivity rate at its prime was probably like 5%.
Yeah.
It was more like 20%. Maybe 30%. So when you get more testing, you're going to get more positive cases. Are there more cases too? And it's spreading? Sure. But not to the level that you're describing, sir. Not in my opinion.
Tell me what's wrong with this picture. I can go to a tattoo parlor and get them to dig in my arm with a needle, but I can't go to the gym and work out. What's wrong with that picture? You tell me.
Well, I don't know. You can go to the gym, can't you? In Pennsylvania?
A lot of gyms are open now.
Yeah. I don't know what.
And maybe their personal gym, but I know a lot of gyms have reopened.
Yeah, I thought gyms were open in Green Face. Maybe in the city they're not because Philly's remaining in yellow for a period of time. I don't know. Are the tattoo parlors open in the city? I don't go to one in the city. I go to one in the burbs.
By the way,
my tattoo guy's open.
Speaking of tattoo guys.
What's up, Keith?
We got to talk at some point. I got to get a good one.
Oh, you don't have any?
I have one, but I need to expand on it. It's a little one.
Okay. What's little? Like the size of a quarter?
Like half of my left pec.
Okay. You got a tattoo on your pec?
I want to expand it up towards the shoulder.
All right.
Which trade do you think was worse? Because I think the worst trade in Philly history was trading away Brad Daugherty and Moses Malone on the same day and getting back Roy Henson and Jeff Rulin. But I think that the Schilling trade at least netted you something. You know, Barkley got you Hornacek, who didn't want to be here, Andrew Lang, and Tim Perry, who stunk. At least in the Schilling trade, you got Dahl and Travis Lee, who weren't anything, but Vicente Batilla was at least a serviceable starter for a few years. So I would say that the Barkley trade was worse.
The Daugherty one's bad. Because they didn't have a big man for years. Imagine if Black Daugherty would have been here with Barkley.
Wouldn't have traded
Barkley. Right?
I'm a big believer in when you trade the superstar, and maybe not the superstar, but the star, like Curt Schilling, mm-hmm. you don't get the return back. That's why you don't trade Claude Giroux.
Yeah,
the return they got back for Curt Schilling was horrible.
Yeah. You can't, when you trade the best player in the deal, most times you lose the deal. What's next?
Martinez, what's the matter with putting cardboard cutouts in the stands instead of people? Most of the dates I go on are with cardboard cutouts.
Funny. His attempt at humor just flops like a cardboard cutout that was soaked in water. All right. That's enough of Sound Off. Close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got enough beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets on.
See you later.
All righty, there is Sound Off, everybody. Fun show today, Tyler. Great job.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's been a while
since you and I had a chance to work together.
Yeah, I don't think we ever did kind of do a show together before, did we?
A while back.
Okay.
A while back.
All right, so stay tuned. We got Devon coming up next. And on NBC Sports Philadelphia, how about this? We were talking about greatness all day. How about the great Wilt Chamberlain, greatest of all time? And then Sixers at Washington tonight from the 21st of December, a re-air tonight. So a lot of great stuff on the television side. Great stuff with Devon here on the radio side. Everybody, do me a favor. Have a great weekend, a great 4th of July weekend and celebration. And do it as best you can. Do it as safely as you can and stay healthy in the meantime. Thanks to Tyler for today. Mikey Miss will be back on Monday. Thanks for, is it Dylan in the back? Who's, Nat's in the back. Okay. Thanks to Nat in the back. Everybody have a great weekend. Appreciate you listening right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.